speakers. Who is Mickey?
Hello, people. My name's Mickey, and I'm a grateful recovering addict. I just want to start off saying I'm bricking it. I literally am bricking it. I didn't want to do this. I know it's good for me to do this, but I've wanted to pick up the phone and pull out about 1,000 times today. But you know, someone said something to me about 3 weeks ago, and it's really stuck in my brain. What's for me won't pass me by. So you know, I'm trusting in my higher power just to gratefully give my experience and pass it on, because this place has done so much for me in a short space of time. So you know, it's priceless. I can't put a price on that. I start off by just sharing my first experience of drugs. I was about 7 or 8 years old, and I was on a farm with my granddad. My granddad came over from Ireland when he was 16. Obviously, I weren't born yet. But yeah, he came over, and he always wanted to own a farm, and he earned enough money and he got himself a farm, and I had a wonderful childhood. And it was on a weekend, I used to go to the farm which he owned, and I used to take the wine off the Sunday table, and I used to put it in a glass and drink that, and then put it back. I was a nipper, but I can remember the warm glowing feeling that I got. I used to just run around for about 5 minutes and then go asleep on the sofa, which was probably beneficial for my granddad anyway, because I had a hyperactive disorder. So you know, I remember him actually catching me once when I was going there, and he didn't have a go at me, which was really surprising. But from then on, the wine was put away, and I couldn't find it, so I soon forgot about it and just got on with my life, as you do as a kid, and looked for the next thing. But I was a very mischievous child. I had a hyperactive disorder. I was in trouble all the time, and definitely born an addict. I believe that. I do believe that you are born an addict, because anything that feels good, I just want to do it, and I've always been like that. My mum had to take me to doctors when I was a kid. I went to about 3 different doctors, and every doctor said you need to put your child on Ritalin, which is a drug that slows you down. And my mum refused to do that. She said, no, I'm not going to do that. She put me into gymnastics instead, which I really love my mum for making that decision, because you know, I believe that I would have been on drugs a lot earlier, and I would have, because I kind of swapped, I channeled my energy into that, and just to be the best gymnast that I could, and worked out really well. I was, I don't want to float my own boat, but I was, yeah, you know, it's my truth, so. But yeah, I was British champion from the age of 12 to 16, British schools champion as well. I went all across Europe and that, and then I stopped. I don't know, I moved to Lillyshaw, and that's a place of sporting excellence there, and I was there for a few months, and every time I was coming back home from my council estate, all my mates were saying, oh, that's a sissy sport, that's a puffy sport. And at that age, you kind of listen, well, I listened to it, you know, it's one of my biggest regrets that I kind of listened to that, because it's got the wrong stigma, gymnastics, it really has. It's kind of not got that now, but, you know, when I was a child, it kind of happened. It's wrong, but, you know, I kind of felt deflated every time I was going back to Lillyshaw. Also, when I was at the Lillyshaw, which is the gymnastics centre, I didn't really get on with the people there. And, you know, I think they were kind of like public school when I was council estate, and I don't think they liked it that maybe I was better than them. Well, I was better than them, but, you know, that's what I kind of think, you know. I don't know, but maybe that's my ego, but, well, I was better than them, so there you go. I stopped doing gymnastics and got into boxing, as you do, when people are telling you that. So I got into that, and I was a good boxer. I always come second. It was great. I was good at it. But it was more of a hobby. By then, I was going out with my friends, socialising, and drink really started to take me away from it. But I enjoyed boxing as well. But just started drinking, but I couldn't stop. Always knew that, you know, I couldn't stop and to drinking, and I couldn't. When I had a drink, when I got introduced to cocaine, that was it. I just felt like I found, you know, it was bliss. It was heaven for me at the time. What was in store for me in later life was not, but hence the fact I'm here. But I've had so many different jobs, you know, and I've always got to a certain point and just lost everything. It's only now that I realise I was a functioning addict. Well, barely, barely a functioning addict, but you know, been a scaffolder, welder, bricklayer, sold car insurance, health insurance, you know, had loads of different jobs over the airport because I'm quite close to Heathrow, that's my manor, that's where I was brought up. But you know, I kept on getting these jobs. I'm really good at getting jobs, you know, with interviews and that, but I'm equally as good at losing them. I kind of just, you know, just don't get up for work and that. And that's because all my friends could have a drink and a line of Charlie and know when it's time and know when it's enough, but I could not do that. And it was just a slow progression from that. And before you know it, I was on crack cocaine and tried heroin and it all kind of took effect. I was just sick every time I tried heroin, to be honest with you. So it didn't really agree with me. I was more happy on the drink and the Valium and the cocaine. So, yeah, but yeah, it weren't good. But so I kept on losing these jobs, getting them, losing them, barely putting my head above water, and not knowing what was wrong with me. And I hear stories about, you know, other people and the situations they've been in, and I had a relatively good childhood, so I just thought I was a wrong one. I didn't know, but now I know. I got that compassion on myself, and I love that. It feels great that I know that I weren't well, and I'm trying better today, and I'm trying to be a better man, and, you know, I can't, you know, this program for me has just been priceless. But how I found it was I went to jail. Well, I had four relatively small sentences. I just had enough. I'm keeping backtracking. I'm sorry. It probably benefit you if you don't understand everything I say anyway. But self-worth really proper up there, ain't it? I lost my granddad when I was 26. Still nervous. And it kind of shot me to bits. I was on a site with my granddad and. He had it in his head. He's an Irish immigrant. He come over. He's worked all his life, and I don't know my dad. And he had a business set up for me. And he had it in his head that he wanted to die on a building site. I know that for a fact. But it was my job to look after my granddad, and I see him deteriorate because he lived with my ma in our house. And a week before he died, he was on site with me, and he cut his hand open with a grinding blade. And still wouldn't let go of that grinding blade, and I can just remember now to this day just trying to get it off him. But he was powerless and he was weak, and it kind of really shot me to pieces. And that was something that, you know, I haven't really shared about a lot, and now I'm doing it in front of like 60, 70 people. So, but that kind of sent my head in a spin, and when he died, it kind of shot me to pieces. And I just intentionally made myself homeless because I didn't want to go back to the house, and I was just drinking as much alcohol as I could. My tolerance levels got higher. I was on about 2.5 litres a day, but I was robbing that from anywhere I could, any kind of off license, just sitting on trains, making myself intentionally homeless, sleeping in bus shelters. It got that bad, the progression of it, and then I went to jail, which weren't nice. It weren't good. It was violence as well, which weren't good. I'm not proud of it. I'm not a violent person, really. I went to jail, and when I went to jail, it was relief. I just felt relief that, you know, there wasn't an off license there. I didn't have to worry. I had a routine, and I actually preferred being in jail. I felt more free in jail than I did in society. And when I got out for my first sentence, I don't know what it was. I do know now because I'm doing a program. But you know, I vowed, you know, a few months in, I'm not gonna go to do a flight. I'm not gonna drink no more. But a few days before my release date, the urges come, and before I knew it, I was walking to the off license. So the first thing I done was bought vodka, and didn't manage to do my license. Got sent back, and that happened on four different occasions. On my fourth occasion, someone see me. I was 28 by then. On my fourth occasion, someone see me from the rap team in prison, and they said, "Michael, you've been in four times now, but you haven't got a record up to when you was 28. What went on for you?" I said about my granddad and told him about my life, and he said, "Mate, you're an addict. It's what you are, is an addict. You know. I know you don't know this, but I'm going to try to get you some help. You need to go to meetings and things like that when you get out." I didn't know nothing about the existence of NAAA or anything like that, but I do now, and I'm truly blessed for that. But I was homeless, so I said to him, "I'm homeless." And he said, "Right, well, you're a low-risk prisoner. Like, I'm not a prolific public offender. I haven't got a massive record. I weren't getting no help. I was just getting £47 and chucked out the door," which obviously didn't help me because, you know. But he come back a couple of weeks later and he said, I've got you a place if you want it, but you have to go for an assessment. It's called Steps to Recovery. And it's literally changed my life. I got out, I went to Steps, and thank you very much, I acknowledged. I got a lift from my mum, and bless her. She gave me a lift to Steps. Didn't let me out of the car, by the way. Couldn't even get my hair cut, I was fuming. But yeah, so I got there, went to a meeting on the first day, and it was just so refreshing, people. I went to the first meeting and I shared five times. I had to get told to shut up because I was like, oh my God, people are talking about things that, you know, you're not meant to talk about or you're not allowed to talk about. First guy said that he feels sad and lonely. You don't do that in a scaffold yard, like in the calf, sorry, you know, if you do a scaffold, it's something that you don't do. People sharing about your actual feelings, it's a beautiful thing. I've come here, I've had it hard, I've been a bit hard on it, I've challenged it, I've kind of threw my toys out of my pram with it, but I've actually seen it. I was at Steps and I went home for Christmas and I actually relapsed, but I'm not saying relapse is a good thing and I don't wish it on anyone because some people don't come back, but I actually did need that. I needed that because I'd done 10 months in jail clean and I'd done 3 months and I thought I had an S on my chest. I really did think I had it in the bag and I didn't. I so didn't. It was my ego. And yeah, for me, it was a slip forward, not a slip back, because that's just my story. But I rang them back up, and you know, they let me back, which is, you know, I'm so happy about that, because it shocked me to bits that I actually did relapse, because I generally didn't think I didn't. I thought I knew enough about this program, you know, and I thought I could have one vodka, but one's too many and a thousand's never enough. I found that out, and I found that out the hard way. So I'm on the phone crying to them, asking them to let me back, and they did. I'm so thankful for that, because now I've actually gone into my behaviours, and I've got a lot of them. And it's going good. I'm relatively new. I'm only 4.5 months clean, so it's like, so I'm happy. It's, you know, I'm happy. I'm content. Like, I'm not. I'll still obviously get triggers and things like that, but I know. I've got compassion on myself now. I weren't well. That's why I was doing them things. I weren't well. I am a kind person, you know. I do reach out, and it's just a beautiful thing. I love this place. I really do. People here just want the best for me, and I generally just want the best for you. And in my experience in life, it's not been like that. People always want something from you, and it's not the case here, you know. And I'm so happy to be here. I'm so thankful, and I just If you're a newcomer, please just keep on getting on with it. You know, keep on coming, keep coming back, and trudge on. I mean, I learned that word off a friend of mine. So, you know, to trudge on is to walk with purpose, and that's what I feel like I'm doing now. I'm learning things every day. But if you're a newcomer, you know, you're entitled to them feelings. You can get irritable. You will get thingy, but you know, just carry on with the book, and hopefully it will be okay. I'm really nervous, I'm sorry, but I just want to say that I'm really thankful for being here, and I do love you all, and I think I'm going to leave it there.
Thank you. Great share, mate. Thank you.
Very, very good.